Now, this evening I'm joining the reading of the Passion. Because it's very long, you can be seated. The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
When the hour came, Jesus took his place at the table with the apostles. He said to them, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For, I tell you, I shall not eat it again until there is fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and said, Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you that from this time on, I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Then he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in memory of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for you. And yet, behold, the hand of the one who is to betray me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man indeed goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to debate among themselves who among them would do such a deed.
Then an argument broke out among them about which of them should be regarded as the greatest. He said to them, The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are addressed as benefactors. But among you it shall not be so. Rather, let the greatest among you be as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater? The one seated at table or the one who serves? Is it not the one seated at table? I am among you as the one who serves. It is you who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer a kingdom on you, just as my Father has conferred one on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat. But I have prayed that your own faith may not fail. And once you have turned back, you must strengthen your brothers. He said to him, Lord, I am prepared to go to prison and to die with you. But he replied, I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows this day, you will deny three times that you know me.
Sent you forth without a money bag, or a sack, or sandals? Were you in need of anything? No, nothing, they replied. He said to them, But now one who has a money bag should take it, and likewise a sack. And one who does not have a sword should sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me, namely, He was counted among the wicked, and indeed what is written about me is coming to fulfillment. Then they said, Lord, look, there are two swords here. But he replied, It is enough.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me.
then going out, he went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, pray that you may not undergo the test. After withdrawing about a stone's throw from them and kneeling, he prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Still, not my will, but yours be done. And to strengthen him, an angel from heaven appeared to him. He was in such agony, and he prayed so fervently that his sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. When he rose from prayer and returned to his disciples, he found them sleeping from grief. He said to them, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not undergo the test.
While he was still speaking, a crowd approached, and in front was one of the 12, a man named Judas. He went up to Jesus and kissed him. Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? His disciples realized what was about to happen, and they asked, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? Then one of them struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said in reply, stop, no more of this. Then he touched the servant's ear and healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priests and temple guards and elders who had come for him, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? Day after day, I was with you in the temple area, and you did not seize me. But this is your hour, the time for the power of darkness.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
After arresting him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter was following at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it. And Peter sat down with them. When a maid saw him seated in the light, she looked intently at him and said, this man too was with him. But he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. A short while later, someone else saw him and said, you too are one of them. But Peter answered, my friend, I am not. About an hour later, still another insisted, assuredly, this man too was with him, for he also is a Galilean. But Peter said, my friend, I do not know what you are talking about. Just as he was saying this, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the cock crows today, you will have denied me three times. He went out and began to weep bitterly.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
The men who held Jesus in custody were ridiculing and beating him. They blindfolded him and questioned him, saying, "Prophesy, who is it that struck you?" And they reviled him in saying many other things against him.
When day came, the council of elders of the people met, both chief priests and scribes, and they brought him before their Sanhedrin. They said, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he replied to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe, and if I question, you will not respond. But from this time on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further need have we for this testimony? We have heard it from his own mouth."
Then the whole assembly of them arose and brought him before Pilate. They brought charges against him, saying, "We found this man misleading our people. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and maintains that he is the Christ, a king." Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He said to him in reply, "You say so." Pilate then addressed the chief priests and the crowds, "I find this man not guilty." But they were adamant and said, "He is inciting the people with his teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee where he began, even to here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. And upon learning that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at that time.
Herod was very glad to see Jesus. He had been waiting to see him for a long time, for he had heard about him and had been hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at length, but he gave him no answer. The chief priests and scribes, meanwhile, stood by and accused him harshly. Even Herod and his soldiers treated him contemptuously and mocked him. And after clothing him in resplendent garb, he sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends that very day, even though they had been enemies formerly.
Pilate then summoned the chief priests, the rulers, and the people and said to them, "You brought this man to me and accused him of inciting the people to revolt. I have conducted my investigation in your presence and have not found this man guilty of the charges you have brought against him. Nor did Herod, for he sent him back to us. So no capital crime has been committed by him. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him." But altogether they shouted out, "Away with this man, release Barabbas to us." Now Barabbas had been imprisoned for a rebellion that had taken place in the city and for murder. Again Pilate addressed them, still wishing to release Jesus. But they continued their shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate addressed them a third time, "What evil has this man done? I found him guilty of no capital crime. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him." With loud shouts, however, they persisted in calling for his crucifixion, and their voices prevailed. The verdict of Pilate was that their demand should be granted. So he released the man who had been imprisoned for rebellion and murder for whom they asked, and he handed Jesus over to them to deal with him as they wished.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
As they led him away, they took hold of a certain Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country. And after laying the cross on him, they made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed Jesus, including many women who had mourned and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep instead for yourselves and for your children. For indeed, the days are coming when people will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' At that time, people will say to the mountains, 'Fall upon us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if these things are done when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?"
Now, two others, both criminals, were led away with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." They divided his garments by casting lots. The people stood by and watched. The rulers, meanwhile, sneered at him and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him, there was an inscription which read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now, one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said to him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon because of an eclipse of the sun. Then the veil of the temple was torn down the middle, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. So please kneel.
The centurion who witnessed what had happened glorified God and said, "This man was innocent beyond doubt." When all the people who had gathered for this spectacle saw what had happened, they returned home, beating their chests. But all his acquaintances stood at a distance, including the women who had followed him from Galilee and saw these events. Now there was a virtuous and righteous man named Joseph who, though he was a member of the council, had not consented to their plan of action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea and was awaiting the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. After he had taken the body down, he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a rock-hewn tomb in which no one had yet been buried. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The woman who had come from Galilee with him followed behind, and when they had seen the tomb and the way in which his body was laid in it, they returned and prepared the spices and perfumed oils. Then they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment.
The Gospel of the Lord. Now, because it's Palm Sunday, I say palm, you say palm, because I'm Irish, and so I say palm, and we go to the shopping mall, you go to the shopping mall. So that's the difference. So when I say palm, I mean palm, right? So because it's Palm Sunday, it doesn't lend to a long sermon, so it won't be more than 25, 30 minutes this afternoon. Cut it down short. Because the readings from the Gospel, and in fact, all the celebration of the liturgy during Holy Week, it speaks for itself by the actions we do. Just to tell you a little story as a lead-in, it was Palm Sunday, and little Johnny was sick, and he wasn't able to go to Mass, and so he had to stay at home with his mom. And his dad returned home from Mass with a palm branch in his hand, and little Johnny was curious. And he said, "Dad, what's that?" Oh, he said, it's a palm branch. You see, he says, when Jesus came into town, all the people welcomed him, and they all waved palm branches, and so everybody in church today was waving a palm branch. And little Johnny looked at his dad and he said, "Oh, shucks, Dad," he says. "The one Sunday I can't go to Mass, Jesus turns up." Nice way, isn't it? The way little children look at things. Now, in Luke's account of the Passion, in one sentence, he sums up the whole spirituality of Jesus. And that sentence is, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And so I've just got one little word for you to take away this evening. And that little word is surrender. Surrender. I want you to surrender this week, Holy Week, to the Lord. But I also want you to surrender to God. Let go and let God. All of us, me included, we all like to be in control. I'm often anxious, I worry, I'm trying to fix things. I don't know what's happening. You may be going through a difficult time in your life. You may not necessarily have a solution to what is happening in your life. And what can you do? Surrender to God. Leave it to God. Leave it to God. That's difficult, but it's the essence of your spiritual life. As long as I'm in control and I'm full of self, I'm not going to surrender to God. It's difficult. But that's what Jesus did for love of us. And why did he die the way he did? For love. For love. For love. To show us the way. And the only way to real happiness, joy, and ultimately salvation is surrender. Surrender. And hopefully you will do that this week. You will surrender your time. Most of us lead very busy lives. We have so many things to do. But this week is special. It's Holy Week. I want it to be a Holy Week in your lives. It may mean missing some of your favorite soaps. But that's why the Japanese invented DVDs and so on, so that you can, you know, record them on the television so that you wouldn't miss Holy Week ceremonies. Don't you believe me? They really did. And so you don't have to miss anything. You can record it and you can look at it next year. Just surrender to Jesus this week. Make sure, bring home a bulletin, look at it, and put it up on your refrigerator door so that you know where it is. And check each day. If I point out one day, it would be Tuesday. Very important. It's our reconciliation service. Hands up here, those who don't need to be forgiven. Anybody with no sins? Good. I'm among friends. And then remember the sacred triduum. It's a threesome. It's not one day. It's not Holy Thursday or Good Friday or Easter Saturday. It's the 3 days, one event. I'm always amazed at the number of people who turn up for Good Friday but have no interest whatsoever in the resurrection. So it's a 3 days into one. So those three become one. Just like God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. Have you ever noticed all the threes in life? Time, past, present, and future. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. All the threes. So make it just not one day, but the 3 days. And I guarantee you, this time next week, you'll be full of joy if you put your heart into this week and surrender to God. So let's stand.